The doctrine of Mary as a mediatrix of each and every grace of the redemption is an official church doctrine which has been taught over the course of three centuries explicitly by the ordinary papal magisterium. So in today's lecture, I want to go through those papal references. And I ask you to bear with me. I want to read you at least one quote from the popes in this line from Pope Benedict XIV back in the 18th century all the way through Pope Benedict the 16th emeritus and beyond, and also even comments about the generosity of the popes and how specific they are in saying, number one, that Mary mediates each and every grace of the redemption, and number two, their usage of the title, which will come in with some of the later popes, St. John Paul II, calling Mary explicitly the mediatrix of all graces on eight separate occasions. So you'd be hard-pressed, any Catholic would be hard-pressed, and any theologian or historian or someone referring to Catholic doctrine, you'd be hard-pressed to say, well, yeah, the Pope, one Pope said it eight times, and many other popes have referred to it and taught it for three centuries, but it's not really a doctrine. This would be an inaccurate understanding of authentic Catholic doctrine. It is a doctrine precisely because of what's going to be documented today in terms of ongoing official papal magisterial teaching. I do want to start with a beautiful reference that we were talking about a little bit in the previous lecture regarding Mary's role at Cana. It's a beautiful quote by St. John Paul II, and we're going to go back, after we do this, to the 18th century, but I want to give you this quote because I think it's well worth our attention. The Holy Father says, this is in Redemptoris Mater number 21, the Holy Father says, quote, thus there is a mediation. Mary places herself between her Son and mankind, in the reality of its wants, needs, and sufferings. She puts herself, quote, in the middle. That is to say, she acts as a mediatrix, not as an outsider, but in her position as mother. She knows that as such, she can point out to her Son the needs of mankind, and in fact she has the, quote, right to do so. Her mediation is thus in the nature of intercession. Mary intercedes for mankind. So, once again, St. John Paul's beautiful accent on the maternal dimension of Mary's intercession, which gives her the right to intercede for her children after she has been designated by Jesus at Calvary officially and perennially as the world's spiritual mother, and also implied in that, the mediatrix. Okay, let's go through the popes again. I'm just going to give you a reference to show the continuity of papal teaching. Look particularly for that issue of each and every grace, because after this line of papal teaching, we're going to discuss how that could be possible. How can the Pope say each and every grace of the redemption? What, for example, what about before Mary existed? What about graces in the Old Testament? What about during Mary's earthly life? How can the Pope say with such confidence each and every grace? Well, we'll discuss how, but first let's make clear that's exactly what they say. Okay, so we start with Pope Benedict XIV at the end of the 18th century, who refers to our Blessed Mother as, quote, being like a celestial stream through which the flow of all graces and gifts reach the soul of all wretched mortals. Pius VII, into the 19th century, summarizes Mary's role as the, quote, dispensatrix of all graces. Remember how we saw with co-redemptrix and cooperatrix and reparatrix? Well, dispensatrix has that same context, to dispense as a woman. Blessed Pius IX, would speak very clearly about Mary's role in mediation. Listen to this one quote, for God has committed to Mary the treasury of all good things, in order that everyone may know that through her are obtained every hope, every grace, and all salvation. She is, with her only begotten Son, the most powerful mediatrix and reconciler of the world. So every grace all good things, every hope, all salvation. Leah the 13th, middle towards the end of the 19th century, particularly the end and the very beginning of the 20th century, calls Mary the, quote, treasurer of our peace with God and the dispensatrix of heavenly graces. She is the one through whom he, Jesus, has chosen to be the dispenser of all heavenly graces. And in his classic encyclical Octobre Mensae on the month of October, he will get even more specific and say, again, Leo the 13th, it is right to say that nothing at all of the immense treasury of every grace which the Lord accumulated, for grace and truth come from Jesus Christ, nothing is imparted to us except through Mary. How great are the goodness and mercy revealed in this design of God. Mary is our glorious intermediary. She is the powerful mother of the omnipotent God. Now, Leo the 13th would also magisterialize the formula of St. Bernardine of Siena we talked about in the last lecture. Quoting Leo, quoting Bernard, thus is confirmed that the law of merciful mediation of which we have spoken and which St. Bernardine of Siena thus expresses, quote, every grace granted to man has three degrees in order. For by God it is communicated to Christ. From Christ it passes to the Virgin, and from the Virgin it descends to us. 20th century Saint Pope Pius X continues this teaching. He calls Our Lady the, quote, dispensatrix of all the gifts acquired by the death of the Redeemer. Quote, she became most worthily the reparatrix of the lost world and dispensatrix of all the gifts that our Savior purchased for us by his death and his blood. Saint Pius X will also use the theology and expression of Saint Bernard of Clairvaux, saying, quote, for she is the neck of our head by which he, Jesus, communicates to his mystical body all spiritual gifts. Now, you'll recall when we talked about the history of the co-redemptrix that Pope Benedict XV would say that Mary redeemed the human race together with Christ. As he follows that statement, he then talks about, for this reason, she also distributes grace. So again, the shortcut is mediatrix of all graces because first co-redemptrix. And that's why it's inconceivable to separate mediatrix from co-redemptrix any more than analogously it's like saying, well, let's talk about the sacrifice of the Mass, but actually it's probably better we leave that out and just talk about the sacred meal of the Mass. Well, without the sacrifice, there is no sacred meal. Without co-redemptrix, there is no mediatrix of all graces. So Benedict the 15th, after he talks about Mary as redeeming the world, I'll lead into that, and then the application to mediatrix of graces. One can truly affirm that together with Christ, she has redeemed the human race. For this reason, every kind of grace we receive from the treasury of the redemption is ministered, as it were, through the hands of the same sorrowful Virgin. Now, it's also very interesting and important to note that Benedict XV in the early 1920s gave official papal approval to the Mass and office of Mary, mediatrix of all graces. Remember, lex orandi, lex credendi, as we pray, so we believe. So the fact that the Pope gave an office to the mediatrix of all graces means clearly it's a doctrine. And already by the 1920s, what do we have? We've got two centuries of Pope's teaching that Mary mediates each and every grace. We have the expression used, and now we have the liturgy, which was open for any diocese in the world that requested this feast. That's called a doctrine, theologically, papally, liturgically. Let's go on. Very briefly, Pius XI will continue this teaching, calls Mary the one who is the treasurer of all graces with God. Quote, we know that all things are imparted to us from God, the greatest and best, through the hands of the Mother of God. Pius XII was a very strong advocate. This is the Pope before the Second Vatican Council, a very strong advocate of Our Lady's mediation of all graces. He will again use the formula of St. Bernard of Clairvaux, stating, quote, It is the will of God that we obtain all favors through Mary. He reaffirms in another encyclical, quote, she teaches us all virtues. She gives us her Son, and with him all the help we need, for God wishes us to have everything through Mary. Very clear and explicit. Now we get to the Second Vatican Council. And at the Second Vatican Council, we have, again, the doctrine clearly in the council when we talk about Lumen Gentium 62, and I'll make that reference to you. And also, we have the title of Mediatrix. Now, Mediatrix of all graces is not included in Vatican II in the Chapter 8 on Our Lady, because there were some, again, some theological questions that were raised, some in ways that perhaps were not as convincing as the theologians put forward, because, in fact, the objections were made against what would now be a three-century official teaching of the papal magisterium. Things like, well, how can Mary mediate graces that are clear in the sacraments? Well, that's easily understood if we remember that Mary participates in the acquisition of the grace with and under Jesus, and therefore, wherever and however those graces are mediated, they will also include the mediation of Mary. So even the graces of the sacraments, which Council of Trent says is mediated automatically, that's mediated through the Church, right? So if the graces that come through the sacraments already have the Church to mediate, and the priest, in most cases, to mediate, clearly Our Lady has an even earlier role because she participates in the acquisition of those graces. Now, a little bit more specific about the Second Vatican Council, I want to read to you Lumen Gentium 61 and 62. Now, bear with me. I know this is a lot of reading. I just want you to be sure this is not a theological opinion and not the opinion of some. This is the Church. This is the doctrine of the Church. So Lumen Gentium 61 says, and I quote, referring to Our Lady, she shared her Son's sufferings as he died on the cross. Thus, in a holy, singular way, she cooperated by her obedience, faith, hope, and burning charity in the work of the Savior in restoring supernatural lives to souls. What does all that mean? Co-redemptrix. Okay? She uniquely cooperates in that work. For this reason, the Council Fathers say, for this reason, she is mother to us in the order of grace. Remember St. John Paul II's statement? Implicit in the expression mother is the role of mediatrix, because that's how you exercise your maternal roles, especially in the supernatural order. The council goes on in Lumen Gentium 62, and I quote, this motherhood of Mary in the order of grace continues uninterruptedly from the consent which she loyally gave at the Annunciation and which she sustained without wavering beneath the cross until the eternal fulfillment of all the elect. Taken up to heaven, she did not lay aside this saving office, but by her manifold intercession continues to bring us the gifts of eternal salvation. My friends, if someone is interceding to bring you the gifts of eternal salvation, that is the mediatrix of all graces. And no one does it on the level of participation in the one mediation of Jesus Christ like Mary does. The Lumen Gentium 62 will go on to say that Mary is rightly invoked in the Church under the title mediatrix. So while it is true that the council, because of some theological objections, did not incorporate the term mediatrix of all graces, and there's kind of an interesting reference earlier in Lumen Gentium 52 and 53 leading up, that everything taught about Mary in schools can continue to be taught about Mary. Well, what are they talking about? Well, it was mediatrix of all graces. In fact, truth be told, that before the Second Vatican Council, the Preparatory Commission asked the to be fathers before they came together in Rome at the Second Vatican Council, what issues do you think are most important that we discuss? The two topics which received the most petitions, one was a condemnation of atheism. The second, over 500 fathers said, let's define Mary as the mediatrix of all graces. Now, John the 23rd rightfully said that this is not to be a defining council once the council started. It was to be a pastoral council. But that tells you the consensus and even the enthusiasm for the Council Fathers about this doctrine. So it would be incorrect to say that because of all graces is not included in the council, that it's not a magisterial reference. How do we know? Because before the council, you have 2 centuries of papal teaching of mediatrics of all graces. After the council, you have over 20 years of papal teaching on mediatrics of all graces. So let's go there. St. John Paul II, who rightly could be called the Pope of Mary Co-Redemptrix, can also be called the Pope of Mary Mediatrix of all graces. In dozens of references, he talks about Mary mediating grace. Suffice it to say, on 8 separate occasions, St. John Paul II uses the title Mediatrix of all graces. So that's clear in a way a manifestation of the ongoing papal teaching and really connecting the pre-conciliar papal magisterium with the post-conciliar papal magisterium without the council doing harm, because the doctrine is there even if the title is not there. Now, Pope Benedict XVI, on the day that he announced his resignation on February 11th of 2013, he refers to Our Lady as the Mediatrix Omnium Gratiarum. And earlier, around 2006, at a canonization of a Brazilian monk in the month of May, Benedict XVI makes a statement that almost sounds like St. Louis Marita Monfort. He talks about how no graces come forward except through the necessary mediation of Mary. That is the doctrine, my friends, with Pope Benedict XVI. Now, with Pope Francis, we have many references of Mary's spiritual maternity, many actions indicating his act of consecration to Our Lady. And we see, although more implicit in his near constant referring to Our Lady as the world's spiritual mother, this role of mediatrix. So, 3 centuries plus of official Catholic doctrine. Is it a doctrine? Absolutely is a doctrine. No one could hold as a credible theologian, let alone as a faithful Catholic, that the Church does not officially teach Mary's mediatrix of all graces when the indicators, that is, consistent papal magisterial teaching in encyclicals, apostolic letters, official pronouncements, is clearly there. Now, having established that, let's talk about how. What are the modes of Our Lady's mediation? Well, let me say that we can kind of talk about this in 3 categories. First of all, let's talk about how Mary mediates grace. And again, we're talking about the graces of redemption here, after her assumption, body and soul, into heaven. And in general, we would say theologically that she mediates grace by will, by way of a willed or a moral causality. That means by her intercession, by her willed intercession, graces are released to the human heart. Some of the greatest Mariologists, I have to say, people like St. Maximin Kolbe, by inference, St. Bernard of Clairvaux, St. Louis Marita Monfort, and we have a couple papal references, but I don't think it would be appropriate to say that this is part of magisterial teaching. It should be more consistent, more clear. Many of these theologians would say that even beyond a willed instrumentality, a willed causality, a willed intercession of how Mary mediates grace, that there is what some theologians have called a physical instrumentality. That means that Mary has actually been given by God the jurisdiction over all graces. You heard Pope Benedict XV make reference to that, and even Pius X gets close to that concept too. And this is the idea captured in formulas of St. Louis Marita Monfort, saying Mary, you know, gives grace as she wills, to whom she wills, when she wills. Why? Because the heart of Mary is in complete conformity to the heart of Jesus. If she's interceding for grace, it pleases the heart of Jesus. It's in conformity with the heart of Jesus. So this would be an added concept that Mary mediates in a physical causality. But for the magisterium, clearly it's at least willed intercession. That's how she distributes grace. What about Mary in the Old Testament? Now, to be fair, there are many different theories of how grace is operative in the Old Testament. Regardless of the theory, we can say that any grace of the redemption merited by Jesus at Calvary and secondarily by Our Lady as the co-redemptrix, any grace of the redemption which may be brought back and distributed to an Old Testament saint or patriarch or prophet, any of those presuppose Mary's mediation. How so? Because she mediated to acquire the grace. So insofar as Mary is the co-redemptrix in that participation in acquiring the grace, then it doesn't matter when in time God desires to distribute or apply that grace, Mary still had a role of mediation. So that's why we can say, even if, and once again, I qualify, there's several different theologies of Old Testament grace. Some wouldn't hold that the graces of redemption go into the Old Testament. But if they do, they still include Mary's mediation. Why? Because she participated in the acquisition of the grace. That is a role of mediation. Now, what about Mary's mediation during her earthly life? Well, it is still appropriate, as the Holy Fathers one after another talk about each and every grace of the redemption is mediated through Mary, it is still appropriate to maintain that, well, as Mary mediates grace in the Old Testament, even before her time on earth, not because she's willfully interceding, because she doesn't exist yet, but because God, who is out of time, can apply the sacrifice of Jesus and the participation of Mary in time to an event previous in time, just as that was true about Mary, Mary's intercession for the Old Testament would be true about Mary during her earthly life. Some use the Thomistic expression of final causality. Insofar as Mary had a cause in obtaining the grace, she still has a causal effect, a causal role of intercession, wherever the graces are applied, before or after the time of the redemption. It also seems to be the case that during her earthly life, Mary had at least some occasion of direct willed intercession, a moral causality. That is, she knew what grace she wanted to have coming from Jesus, and she interceded for it. Obvious example, wedding of Cana. Mary was deliberate. She was willful in the proper sense of meaning. She chose to do this. Personal, moral, feminine intercession, maternal intercession. It's direct, and what is the result? Grace. Grace from Jesus. The grace of Jesus through Mary's intercession. That's a role of mediatrix of grace. So, with these three categories, after her earthly assumption, body and soul into heaven, even in the Old Testament, if grace is in fact the graces of redemption, if they are applied to the Old Testament and during Mary's earthly life, clearly Mary is the mediatrix of all graces. One last qualification. When we say Mary, and when the Church calls Mary the mediatrix of all graces, we're talking about of each and every grace of redemption, it does not include her own Immaculate Conception. Why? Because there's a principle in theology, principitum meritum non sub cato eritum merito. What that all means is you can't merit your first grace. You can't deserve, you can't earn, even in the order of supernatural merit, your first grace. So Mary would receive the grace of her Immaculate Conception certainly without her merit. Now some would say, yes, but you can intercede for grace for yourself. Every time you choose to go to Mass, you're interceding for grace yourself, notwithstanding the doctrine which the Church puts forward as Mary's mediatrix of all graces does not have to include her own Immaculate Conception to be the following truth. That is, that Mary mediates each and every grace of the redemption from Jesus to fallen humanity. Because when we say fallen humanity, we do not include Mary. That is the doctrine as the popes teach it, as the magisterium has maintained it, and as the post-conciliar magisterium has also taught. That's a great grace, knowing that Mary indeed brings us each and every grace as the maternal mediatrix. Now, in the next lecture, we're going to talk about how her third role as a mother is that task of advocacy. And advocacy is intercession in the order of protection and of bringing the needs of humanity back to the throne of Christ the King. So she can, if you will, complete what might be considered the circle of Mary's mediation for you and me. Co-redemptrix in obtaining grace, mediating grace from Jesus to us, but also bringing our needs back to the throne of Jesus for a complete mediation of service to Jesus and for us. Thank you.